Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, King Chitraketu meets the Lord. Text number 53-54. Yata Sushupta Purusho Vishvam Pashyati Shatmani Atmanam Ekadeshastam Manyate Swapna Utitaha Evam Jagra Radnadini Jiva Stanani Shatmana Maya Matrani Vigaya Vigyanya Vigaya Tad Drastaram Param Smaret Yata Sushupta Purusha Vishvam Pashyati Chatmani Atmanam Ekadeshastam Manyate Swapna Uditaha Evam Jagaranadini Jivastanani Chatmanaha Maya Matrani Vigaya Tadrashtaram Param Smaret Yata Sushupta Purusha Vishvam Pashyati Chatmani Atmanam Ekadeshastam Manyate Swapna Uditaha Evam Jagaranadini Jivastanani Chatmanaha Maya Matrani Vigyaya Tadrashtaram Param Smare. Yata, just as Sushuptaha, sleeping, Purusha, a person, Vishvam, the whole universe, Pashyati, perceives, Cha, also, Atmani, in himself, Atmanam, himself, Ekadeshastam, lying down in one place. Manyate, he considers. Swapne, in the dreaming condition. Uditaha, waking up. Evam, in this way. Jagarani Adini, the states of wakefulness and so on. Jivastanani, the living entities, different conditions of existence. Cha, also, Atmanaha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya Matrani, exhibitions of the illusory potency. Vigaya, knowing. Tat, of them. Drashtaram, the creator or seer of all such conditions. Param, the supreme. Smaret, one should always remember. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, when a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and sees in himself many other objects, such as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe although they are far away. Sometimes, when one awakes from a dream, he sees that he is in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions, as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. Purport. None of these conditions of the living entities, namely deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness, is substantial. They are simply displays of various phases of conditional life. There may be many mountains, rivers, trees, bees, tigers, and snakes that are situated far away, but in a dream, one may imagine them to be nearby. Similarly, as one has subtle dreams at night, when the living entity is awake, he lives in gross dreams of nation, community, society, possessions, skyscrapers, bank balance, position, and honor. Under the circumstances, one should know that his position is due to his contact with the material world. One is situated in different positions in various forms of life that are all the creations of the illusory energy, which works under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate actor, and the conditioned living entity should simply remember this original actor, Sri Krishna. As living entities, we are being carried away by the waves of prakriti, or nature, which works under the Lord's direction. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Miche mayara vashe yache bese kacha habu budu bai. Why are you being carried away by the waves of the illusory energy in various phases of dreaming and wakefulness? These are all creations of Maya. Our only duty is to remember the supreme director of this illusory energy, Krishna. For us to do this, the Shastras advise us, Harir Nama, Hari Nama, Harir Nama, Naiva Kevalam. Hari Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Naiva Kevalam. One should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Lord is realized in three different phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, but Bhagavan is the ultimate realization. One who realizes Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is the most perfect Mahatma. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sar Mahatma Sadura Lavaha. In the human form of life, one should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for then one will understand everything else. Yasmin vigyate sarvam eva vigyatam bhavati. According to this Vedic injunction, simply by remembering Krishna, one understands Brahman, Paramatma, Prakriti, the illusory energy, the spiritual energy, and everything else. Everything will be revealed. Prakriti, the material nature, is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord, and we living entities are being carried away by various phases of Prakriti. For self-realization, one should always remember Krishna. As stated in the Padma Purana, Smarta Vyaksaratam Vishnu, one should always remember Lord Vishnu. Vismarta Vyak Nak Jatu Kichit. We should never forget the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Sanskrit translation, Yata susupta purusho dvishvam pashiti chatmani atmanam ekas deshastam manite swapna uditaha evam jagara nadini divastanani chatmanaha mayamatrani vigyaya tadrastaram param smaret. When a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and sees in himself many other objects such as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe, although they are far away. Sometimes when one awakes from a dream, he sees that he is in human form lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. All these conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vitnarne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskadya De Sitarne. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Naiva kinchit karo miti yukta manyate tatvavit Pashan Srinvan Srishan Jiguran Ashnanga Chansapan Swasan Pralapan Vishijan Grinan Umishan Nimishanapi Indriya Indriyarteshu Vartanta Iti Daryan. That a person in the divine consciousness, though engaged in hearing and seeing and smelling and eating and opening, knows that always within himself that he does nothing at all. Because while speaking and accepting and giving up and opening and closing his eyes, he knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. This is the vision of self-realization, that we are the observers and we're seeing besides ourselves all other things. So as the observer, we can identify ourselves in two ways. We can become conscious of Krishna, which is called Krishna consciousness, and by becoming conscious of Krishna, we can identify ourselves with Krishna as his servant. Or we can misidentify ourselves with this material body and believe ourselves to be the doers and the possessors and the actors of this material body. In any case, right now, we're actually aware of everything besides ourselves, but we're actually not very conscious of ourselves. That the conditioned soul, he has consciousness, is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Yata prakashayat yeka kritsnam loka imam ravi. Yata tata kritsnam lokam. Yata prakashayat yeka kritsnam loka imam ravi. Kshetram Kshetra Tata Kritsnam Prakashayati Bharata. So just like the sun is situated in one place and illuminates the entire universe with its sunlight, so the soul is in one place and he illuminates the entire body by consciousness. Therefore in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are five factors in the accomplishment of every kind of work. One of them is the living entity, ourselves. The other is the body, another is the work or the endeavor, another is the supersoul, and another is the senses. So anyone who thinks himself to be the only doer, not considering the five factors, is not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. Therefore, the very basis is that we are souls, we are transcendental to this material body. We have actually nothing to do with the material body except that we're connected to it by consciousness, that we're aware of it. Just like the sun is not present in this room, but when the sun comes up, then it's present by its sunlight. So similarly, the living entity is not actually present in the material world, but because he has consciousness, he experiences the material world. Now the next question arises, what is the living entity's connection with the activities of the body that we identify ourselves with? So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining that the living entity, he has the capacity to desire. Therefore, he desires in different ways. So how we desire depends upon the circumstances that we find ourselves in and the knowledge that we have. According to these circumstances and according to our knowledge, we desire in different ways. In conditioned life, the living entity, he desires to gratify the senses and the mind. That is, due to his past activities in the field of sense gratification, different desires arise within the mind and different impulses arise from the senses. He's been given a particular body according to his past activities. Therefore, it's more or less a machine which, under the laws of destiny, different desires will arise and different impulses arising from the senses, which are all partially, at least, a product of his past activities, which have brought him into a particular environment, a particular circumstances, which create a certain type of impulses arising within his body and mind. In other words, we have to say that although it's partially due to our past activities, also the environment and it has something to do with it, and then there's also the factor of the free will of the soul. So, when the impulses arise and the desires arise within the mind, then the living entity can identify himself with those desires, kama, kami, or he can turn his consciousness and think, what can I do to please Krishna? So, if he turns his consciousness and thinks, what can I do to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What is the actual proper thing to do from the point of the absolute truth, then that is the proper execution of his free will. Otherwise, to give his free will over to the demands of the senses and mind is also free will. To surrender himself to the dictation of the body and mind is free will. But it's the misuse of his free will, because by such activities, all he does is become kama kami, one who desires to satisfy desires. On the other hand, if he turns his consciousness over to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he turns his will over to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and inquires from him, what does Krishna want one to do, either inquiring from the Guru, Sadhu, or Shastra, and being inspired from the Super Soul within, then Krishna also gives one a vision of how to desire. Desire in such a way is that one can gradually revive his original spiritual consciousness, his original spiritual occupation of service to Krishna in the spiritual world. Now one may think, well, I don't really want to be a servant, that it would be nice to be the master, that it would be nice to be able to do what I want to do. I don't want to be a monkey on the stick, so to speak, and simply become a robot or a puppet in someone's hand. But actually, our position is that of service. But our service in the spiritual world is that we freely want to serve. We freely want to give our loving propensity to satisfy others, because that is our basic desire. And even the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, he acts as a servant. He gives his love freely to everyone else too. So by nature, everyone is servant, and in the spiritual world, even the Supreme Lord, he's Bhaktivatsal. He's also the servant of his devotees. And even here in the material world, as the Paramatma, the Super Soul, he's also in one sense serving all living entities by fulfilling their making arrangements through his external energy to fulfill their desires. But the basic problem is that we're not convinced that this material energy is Krishna's, nor are we convinced that actually Krishna is making all the arrangements, both gross and subtly, according to our desire. In other words, the basic principle is that the living entity has the capacity to desire. And by his free will, he can desire to serve Krishna, or he can desire to serve the illusory energy. And that he himself can do nothing more than that. But when he thinks, well, I can do something besides that, then he becomes the victim of the illusory energy. In other words, if he's not actually conscious of how he's desiring, and he thinks, I'm just going to do something and it'll be all right. Whatever I do will be all right. I'll do something. I'll make some arrangement. But I'll get what I want. Then he becomes a servant of his desire. Even as devotees, if we think, well, now I'm a devotee. I have my dhoti on. I have my tilak on. I have my new spiritual name. And now I can really fulfill my ambitions. I can get what I want. As Sridhar Maharaj was saying yesterday, we can write down a list of all the things we may feel. Yes, I would like this and I'd like that. Sometimes in religion, people write down a list and they go to church and they pray to God.
what is it? Give me what is it? Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Give me a wife, give me a car, give me a house by the sea. Jaya Jagadisha Hari. So when they come and write down a whole list like that, and feel, yes, this is really what I want. Dear Lord, please fulfill my desire. I really want this. So this is called third class devotee. Materialistic devotee, they know who is the supplier. They have some idea about the supplier, but they don't actually know that their interest is not to get these things. That it's not their interest to desire these things. Their interest is to desire to get the supplier. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai Shri Shri Kali Devi Shaka Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaurani Tai Ki Jai Lord Jagannath Lord Balde Shri Mati Subhati Ki Jai. That their real interest is to become conscious, fully conscious, in a spirit of love and devotion to the person who's supplying everything. In other words, whatever we want, eventually Krishna will supply to us by giving us the intelligence to get it, and by directing us in such a way as to, either in this lifetime or in some future lifetime, be able to be surrounded by that particular material situation. Therefore, desire is the first thing that one has to be very careful of, and one should desire to fulfill Krishna's desires. Nimitra matram bhavasavasai chin. Because if we become an instrument for Krishna, then in any circumstance, in any material position, then we'll be able to remember Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, we actually come to our original spiritual stage of consciousness, of life. But if one is not thinking that I'm simply an instrument for Krishna, and he's thinking, what am I going to get out of this? Dhanam, janam, sundarim, kavitam, va, jagadisha, kavaye, mama, janmani, janmani, shre, bhavatak, bhakti, ahai, tuki, twayi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't want. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pointing out that desire is very important, but there are certain things we should not desire. Dhana, wealth. In the material world, everyone is very fearful of annihilation, because the fact is that everyone will be annihilated. So there's good cause to be fearful of annihilation of this body, because it will be annihilated, either today or tomorrow or the next day. So everyone is trying to make plans to live his to drag on his life as long as possible in the material world, up to the last moment, in order to protect the body from harm. Therefore, we require some wealth, and in order to provide those things that we think will give us sense gratification, fulfill the demands of the body and the mind, we want wealth. And what is those things? Dhanam, janam. If one is born in a nice family, nice country, of course nowadays aristocracy doesn't exist. In some places, if you can get a green card and go to America, then you're considered to have made it, to have gotten a good birth. Or born in the Western world, except born with some wealth. Sundarin, beautiful women, or for a man, for a woman, beautiful men. And finally, one wants followers. Everyone should respect one, follow one's directions, etc. Material followers. And up to the last point, when one cannot be, or when one cannot be satisfied by these things, because after all, no one is satisfied by wealth or by women or by followers. Then when he becomes frustrated in trying to enjoy these things, then he tries to become the Lord in the spiritual world. He tries to become a moksha and merge into the effulgence and think himself the Lord there. But even there, in the spiritual effulgence, one will become frustrated and eventually come down again to try it all over again, to become the Lord of the material world. So in any case, Krishna is the super soul. He's the one who's making the arrangements to fulfill these desires of ours through his material energy. He's the one who's providing all the gross and the subtle energy that we're being surrounded by and experiencing in different phases of life, either in wakefulness or in dreaming or in deep sleep. And it's not by an accident, it's all by on the basis of our past activities through Krishna's arrangement with the material energy. We cannot say that I'm a helpless victim, I have nothing to do with my present circumstances, and nor will I have anything to do with my future experiences. Everything depends upon the desire of the soul, and the desire of the soul depends upon his knowledge. If he has knowledge and he rejects illusory desires that arise, tries to become free from his attachment to his gross and subtle material desires by principally becoming attached to Krishna's desires. Not simply trying to remain aloof from the material desires, but trying to become attached to Krishna's mission, and therefore trying strongly or develop that desire to utilize his mind and senses for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by that development of desire to please Krishna, then Krishna gradually reveals himself, purifies the senses and mind, frees the soul of his struggle with his material senses and mind, and reveals things as they actually are to him. Our real problem is not our lack of wealth or our lack of followers. Our real problem is our attachment to the desiring these things, which are constantly causing us pain within the heart. Or as Pariksit Maharaj was speaking to Shukadeva Goswami and explaining that you've told me already about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he's creating and maintaining and annihilating this material universe. So I wish that you may tell me about other pastimes which I have not heard already. That the Supreme Lord, he bestows both liberation and love of God simultaneously. That one who becomes a devotee of the Lord automatically achieves liberation. That the conditioned souls within this material world are searching out the pleasure derived from sense gratification. That such pleasures are always piercing the hearts of the conditioned souls. But I am actually experiencing how, by simply hearing these transcendental pastimes, one can always remain steeped in transcendental pleasure and not become afflicted or affected by such sense gratificatory desires. So therefore I think that this is the actual remedial measure for the problems of all conditioned souls. That if one can actually gradually enter into the hearing about Krishna, hearing is an art. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking with some of the sannyasis, and one of them said, Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to read more. So Prabhupada said, no, you should not read more, you should work more. This is Prabhupada was building Mayapur at that time. He said, reading, that is an art. If you know the art, then you can do it. That if one can read, then he can actually develop his Krishna, if he can read expertly, then he can develop his Krishna consciousness in that way. But generally in the beginning, it's advised that one desires something practical to utilize his body in the proper way. That by dedicating the activities of this body in Krishna's service, then that's the proper way of desiring. That is also meditation. It is not that, in one sense, there's a big difference between activities on the subtle platform and activities on the gross platform, although activities on the gross platform are actually just partial reflections of the activities on the gross, on the subtle platform. That we work, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, principally with the mind and intelligence, and those activities become manifest with the gross body. So the mind is the center of desire for the conditioned soul, or is the center of his liberation, desiring to serve Krishna. Is the center of material pastimes, desires for material sense gratification, or is the center of his meditation on Krishna in Krishna consciousness, and is willing to do things for Krishna. Therefore, it's easier in the beginning for the conditioned soul to desire to perform activities for Krishna's benefit, for this gross body. So if we, especially in the beginning, if we don't have the capacity to remain in trance and meditate upon Krishna in that way, which if we had that capacity, we wouldn't be neophyte devotees, conditioned by the material energy, would be liberated souls ready to enter into the spiritual world. In any case, generally it's advised that one desire to see and meditate on how his activities are pleasing to Krishna. So how does one know how his activities are pleasing to Krishna? Well, I feel like it's pleasing to Krishna. Krishna would like this because I like it. And I'm part and parcel of Krishna, so whatever I like, Krishna must like too. But I like ice cream. So I have to find the proper guru who likes ice cream too and offer him, you know, chocolate or vanilla, whatever I like. And I'm sure he'll accept. And if I can't find him, then I'll offer him all the different flavors. And Krishna can choose what he likes, and I'll get what I like. But this is not the proper way to meditate on service to Krishna. That one should meditate on what is pleasing to Krishna. And how does one know what is pleasing to Krishna? One has to understand Krishna's desires through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That Krishna has not been shy in saying what he wants. Krishna didn't say, well, I'm not really so sure what to offer me, but, you know, just do whatever you want. No, he says, patram pushpam palam toyam yo me bhakta priyashiti. He principally wants love, but that's manifest at least in terms of fruits, flowers, leaves, etc. That the beginning manifestation of our love is that at least we're trying to offer him that. Fruits, flowers, leaves, or whatever else in terms of vegetables or grains that we can offer him. The real thing he wants is love, but love begins with obedience to his direction. So he says very explicitly what kinds of foods he'll accept. And he says, Jagna Shistashina Shanto Muchante Sarvakil Vishai. That if you don't do that, then you're going to be covered by material desire. If you don't offer Krishna what he wants, then you just do whatever you want, then you'll be covered by material desire, either by eating vegetables or by not eating or by eating meat, by whatever you do. If you don't do it as a sacrifice to Krishna, then your consciousness will be covered by material desire. Material desire means that you'll find yourself in some circumstance and your desires will be simply dovetailed with the subtle desires of the illusory energy. But on the other hand, if you at least do that, follow Krishna's direction, and especially that part about love, that if you try to offer these things to please Krishna, develop that desire to please Krishna, then the result is that gradually you become Krishna conscious. You become free from the illusory conception of fulfilling desires, which also misidentify one with the body, gross and subtle, in different phases of life. And gradually, by becoming free from that desire to fulfill material desires, one becomes more and more conscious of Krishna. One becomes more and more conscious of the benefits of devotional service to Krishna, of loving Krishna. And therefore, one becomes encouraged to develop his life in that way. Therefore, these things are very important to understand. That the living entity, he has daydreaming and night dreaming. At night he dreams so many things in his subtle body and identifies himself with that subtle body. And he forgets his gross body. During the day he wakes up and he dreams that he's this gross body. And he has so many plans in terms of his body, his nation, his country, his society, his family to fulfill. And therefore he's desiring that way. But one should not misidentify himself with the gross body or the subtle body. One should identify himself in terms of Krishna's servant. Naham vipra na chanarapatira naham vapi na sudro naham varni na grihapatira nasti kintu prodan Nakilasta, I forget the end. Purnamrita Abir, Gopi Bharti Para Kamalayor, Dasa Dasa Anudasa. That I am not Brahmin, I am not Kshatriya, I am not Vaisha or Shudra, I am not Grihastha or Brahmachari or vanaprastha or renunciate, sannyasi. I am the servant of the servant of that self-effulgent, all-blissful personality of Godhead who satisfies the gopis in Vrindavan. That one should meditate like that, that I'm actually Krishna's servant. And if one meditates like that, then naturally he'll remember Krishna. And that remembrance of Krishna is substantial. Is really substantial in the fact that it's eternal. That relationship with Krishna. Our relationship with anything else on this material platform is temporary. Our country, our nation, our family, our society, and even our own body are just temporary phases of existence that we're experiencing. But our relationship with Krishna, that's eternal. Therefore, if one learns the art of dedicating his activities to Krishna, and then, by advancement of spiritual consciousness, learns how to remain in trance, meditating on Krishna, then the result is that one will actually find his proper shelter. One will actually find a shelter which is infallible, which doesn't, you can't shoot it with bullets, you can't, by any kind of disturbance, it won't be affected. That relationship that we have with Krishna, if we want that, if we want to develop that. But any other shelter is simply a product. Krishna will give us whatever other shelter we want. Krishna says, Yanti deva vrata devan, pitri yanti pitri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino pimam. If you desire to become a ghost, Krishna will give you a nice ghostly body, a 1993 ghost body. You can fly around and haunt people with it. If you want to become a demigod, you can go to the Nandakandana forest and enjoy sex life there and eat all kinds of nice food there. If you want that, but even the demigods, they're also morose. They also know they're going to be annihilated in the course of time, that everything they have will be lost. And even the demigods, once in a while, they come in contact with someone like Vritrasura, who's a big, big demon, and simply would squash few hundred demigods underneath his feet. So even the life of a demigod is not so peaceful sometimes. And if you become a Pitri, an ancestor, then you'll always be in anxiety about your descendants, because if one fails to perform a sacrifice, you wind up back here again. So the material world is always insecure. There's no secure position here. But if we want something like that, Krishna will give it to us. If you want to fly, you may try and flap your wings now, and you may not do it. But if you do it long enough, then Krishna will figure out that what this person really wants is a bird body. And in your next lifetime, after leaving this one, you'll have plenty of opportunities to fly. You'll spend your whole life flying. So whatever we desire, whatever way we act in the material world, based on that, Krishna will manifest different activities on the basis of that desire, which will automatically develop a certain type of consciousness within us. And if we continue to do that, then we get our next body here in the material world. But if we cultivate that desire to obtain Krishna, then eventually we'll get Krishna. And therefore, there will be no more sufferings, either in the gross or subtle platform, no more illusion, but we'll actually develop our spiritual body, our spiritual existence, and we can go back to Krishna. So that's the question of just desire. And even now, even if we're not so sure about what we really want, at least we should practice sadhana bhakti strictly and try to develop the desire to obtain Krishna, and in that way we'll be able to see what the difference is. That is, although it's a fight because we're attached to fulfilling desires, to thinking that a certain type of arrangement will actually gratify me, but we should fight against that desire and simply go on desiring strongly to chant our rounds clearly, loudly, enough to hear them, and clearly, and try and just listen as carefully as possible. Desire like that. Desire whatever circumstances we find ourselves in to try to practice sadhana bhakti, to hear, chant, remember Krishna, try and do some service for Krishna, and that way see after some time whether or not that these desires are dissipating or going away, and that my desire to obtain Krishna is increasing. So we'll stop that. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Reading this
The art of reading. The difficulty is that we don't have, our minds are not expanded enough that we understand what was being said. Therefore, we read, but we don't hear anything. Or we hear exactly whatever our mind is telling us, not what's on the page. So, one has to at least recognize that we haven't heard anything. Not only have we not heard anything, but we haven't assimilated anything. Just like one may read for hours, and at the end, someone may ask, well, what book did you read? And they go, I can't quite remember what that book was. So, it was more or less a waste of time. Because reading, hearing, is more than just going through the motions. The idea of hearing is to be able to apply in a practical way. So if we haven't remembered anything, then how can we apply it? So how to remember, that means that we have to develop the capacity to remember. To assimilate and to remember. We should hear such a way as we can apply something, remember at least to that extent, and then by applying it, we should come to the platform of realization. So hearing or reading is primarily to understand how to act practically. So we apply it, and then we should come to this platform of realization. So at least we should have that much remembrance when we read, of how to apply it practically. And if we don't, if we haven't gotten any practical, anything practical out of it, then we've just wasted our time, more or less. Yeah.
So we come to this point, okay, we've been deciding all this material things, but then we become frustrated, so then we hear about Krishna consciousness, and we say, yes, maybe that's something which will give me what I look for, the happiness, or the peace of mind. So then we perform Bhakti Yoga, Sarana Bhakti, like you said, all the flowers, fruits, grains. But in one sense, or that can be better done time to time without the desire to please Krishna. But how do we make our activities with some love and with some feeling?
In the beginning, at least, we should follow Krishna's directions. And then the test comes when Krishna says, do this, and we don't want to do it. We want to do something else. Krishna says, don't do that. And we say, no, that's what I want to do. Well, don't do that. No, I really want to do that. We have to become obedient. So obedient to Krishna means obedient to the orders of the spiritual master. And we say, well, I don't really have a spiritual master. I just have Krishna. Well, if you only have Krishna, then you have your mind as a master. Sometimes, at least. So then, that's very difficult. Because Krishna, he's standing there. He's not going to say anything. He's not going to say, we're not advanced enough that he's going to protest, when we decide not to offer something to him. When we decide to offer something to him that's not appropriate. He's not going to say, wait a second, I'm not going to eat that. Take it away. He's going to keep on standing there. He won't protest. There's probably said in one lecture, his protest is that you'll go to hell for doing it. Krishna is very patient. He's very, very patient. But it's not that he's impotent. He's controlling everything. Therefore, he just silently makes all the arrangements for you to go to hell as a reaction for what you're doing. Therefore, one has to come in contact with Guru. Guru doesn't mean that simply there's some formal initiation and there's a big ceremony and therefore the whole business is finished. Now whatever I do is valid because I'm initiated. I have some sacred potency now. I have some special potency that whatever I do is blessed. No, one has to inquire 24 hours a day from the Guru what to do. But that doesn't mean that, my Guru's there and I'm knocking on his door. Should I brush my teeth now? Should I? I really feel like, my body's giving, I have to go to the toilet. Is it all right? No, it means that one has to internalize the instructions of the Guru that come through the simple succession, and therefore be able to discriminate in different circumstances what Krishna wants and what he doesn't want.
And knowing clearly what Krishna wants, one can act with firmly, with determination, just to please Krishna. So one has to, in the beginning at least, learn to discriminate what Krishna wants and what Krishna doesn't want. And if we keep on agreeing, desiring what Krishna wants and giving up what Krishna doesn't want, then the result is that we'll become more and more attached to Krishna. Why more and more attached to Krishna? Because the next stage in the process of surrender, one sees that Krishna is actually maintaining me. Just like a wife, a woman, she loves her husband. It's not all just pure love, you know, just like, but part of it is that she feels that my husband's hopefully maintaining me. When the husband ceases to maintain the wife, then the wife looks for another husband usually. So, but on the other hand, looking at it the other way, when the husband maintains the wife nicely, then she becomes more attached to him. So similarly, when one actually follows Krishna's directions, what he wants, and gives up what he doesn't want, then one becomes more and more attached to Krishna, and sees that Krishna is always protecting it. So that makes one even more attached to Krishna. And then one desires only to do what Krishna wants, and that makes one even more attached and more dear to Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates even more, to the point when one always feels himself meek and humble. Simply a servant, sold out servant of Krishna. Completely dependent on Krishna. So it's the process. But at least what we can do right now is accept what Krishna wants and give up what Krishna doesn't want. And the way we have to do that is by internalizing Krishna's instructions through disciplic succession. Somehow or another. Through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and eventually inspired by the Paramatma within. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, to direct the bodily activities of the disciple. At least in the beginning, we can act physically. Just like, for instance, we're here in class. So, our minds may not be completely here all the time, but at least the body's here. Therefore, there's more of a chance that the mind will come back here. Just the fact that the body and the mind have some connection. So by desiring to come to class, Krishna brings the body here, manifests the body here, and therefore we have an opportunity to hear about Krishna. So as it says in the Nectar of Devotion, the activities of at the time of initiation, for the speaking power, we can always speak about Krishna, talk about different topics about him. The mind can be engaged in thinking either of Krishna's activities in Vrindavan or his activities of speaking to Krishna, to Arjuna on the Battle of Kurukshetra, the Bhagavad Gita. And with the gross body, the physical activities, this is done under the directions of the bona fide spiritual master. And therefore, at the time of initiation, the actual connection with Krishna is made. The time of surrendering the bodily activities, that's when actually the connection with Krishna is made, or the beginning of that connection. When one gives up the idea that I'm going to do what I want with my body, I'll follow the directions, even of Krishna, up until the point that it doesn't satisfy my senses. And then I give up Krishna's service, and I take to my bodily and mental service again. But initiation means that whatever my spiritual master says, I'm going to do. That is disciple or a discipline. So that's the beginning of the connection with Krishna. And by developing that connection, one will be able to eventually think of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and his activities with speaking to Arjuna. And he'll be talking about Krishna 24 hours a day, or at least he'll be able to talk about Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Just saying that the Spiritual Master said the same thing that Krishna said. So, you know,
No, the spiritual master is Krishna for the disciple. It's not a secondary thing. It's Krishna speaking through the spiritual master. So if you want it, the only way you'll know what Krishna wants is when you hear from his representative. Otherwise, you won't understand anything. You can't hear from Krishna directly. You can only hear through his representative. If you want to understand what Krishna says, you have to hear from his representative. And to understand his representative, you have to hear from Krishna in the terms of the Shastra and the Super Soul. So they're a team. They work together to help the conditioned soul make progress. But if I think that the spiritual master is separate from Krishna, then it's that I have a hellish mentality. If I think that any Vaishnava is separate from Krishna, that's also chatti buddhi. That's also another type of material mentality or hellish mentality. That Krishna is a super soul, he's Paramatma. That even the soul is not so advanced, but still if he acts as Krishna, if he agrees to act as Krishna's instrument, then it's Krishna who's doing the activity. Just as long as the soul is acting in terms of Krishna consciousness, then he's acting as an instrument for Krishna. That's what it means to act as in Krishna consciousness. So, at least in the beginning, the neophyte, the most element of the lowest level of devotee, or one aspiring to be a devotee, he sees at least Krishna, the deity, his instructions in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, as absolute. And he sees the spiritual master also as absolute. And on a more advanced stage, he takes all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees, as representatives of Krishna. And on the most advanced stage, he only sees Krishna. So at least we have to start from the third class position to accept Krishna as his instructions and his deity form, and accept someone as an absolute, someone or devotees as absolute, elevated devotees as guides in Krishna consciousness. And then follow them with faith that this is actually Krishna who's speaking. If I think I'm following this person because I like them, then one is in Maya. One has to follow the spiritual master as Krishna's representative, as Krishna speaking, not separate from Krishna. It's not that we should think the spiritual master is the soul within the heart of the spiritual master's body is God. No, he's an instrument and Krishna is there also. And the spiritual master and Krishna are acting as a team. And the spiritual master, he's giving Krishna his instruction. He's willing to act as an instrument. Therefore, one follows the spiritual master as God, as a representative of God, non-different from God. Yes. Therefore, one should think of one's spiritual master and Krishna and pray to them for the proper direction, or ask the devotee what he thinks. Somehow or another, in a humble way, one should try to, if one has a question, one should try to humbly search out the answer through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And then, or pray to the Super Soul also for inspiration to understand these things. And when it's clear, then we'll know what to do. But in any case, whatever we do, we should do for Krishna, with the idea that I'm doing it just to please him. Because this is what I've understood, as far as my capacity, what Krishna wants, through the chain of disciple succession, taking guidance from others, or from inspiration from the Super Soul, depending on how advanced we are, how clear, how difficult the circumstance is. And then we should do it, that activity, simply with the idea I'm doing it to please Krishna, because this is what I've understood Krishna wants. And if it's not what Krishna wants, then we'll find out. And if it is what Krishna wants, then Krishna will reciprocate too. But if one sincerely tries to serve Krishna, then Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Then I reveal things to him. And then therefore it becomes clear. Tesham Eva Nukamparatam. And if it's not becoming clear, it means that we're not really seriously taking the process up. We're not really thinking what Krishna wants. We're really thinking about what I really want. So it's a question of sincerity. If one is sincere, sincerely thinking about what Krishna wants in the proper way, then Krishna will help one and reveal things. And if not, then we'll stay here forever and not go anywhere. Yeah. Well, I think whatever instructions we have are all to help us do those things. Chanting 16 rounds a day without any offense. If you can do that, then you'll be in Vaikuntha, at least in Vaikuntha, maybe Goloka Vrindavan. So that's a pretty big instruction. Following four of the principles means, on the gross and subtle platform, to give up all kinds of, to be completely austere, clean, truthful, and merciful, and to give up any tendencies to commit sinful activities, then we'll certainly be eligible to go back to the spiritual world, or at least to the highest planet in this universe. So those aren't quite deep. And any other instruction that's given will help us. Because after all, here it says, smartavyaksaratam vishnur, vismartavyo jatu nakinchit. Sarva vidhi nise dyasyor etayor eva kinkara. All the rules and regulations to help us come to this platform of chanting Hare Krishna without offense. And if one does that, then all the rules and regulations are served. Or on the other hand, all the rules and regulations are servants of these two rules. So if we can keep on doing this, then we'll gradually become elevated. But we should practice, we should remember that what we're trying to do is not just have the body appear in the temple room at certain times of the day. We should also bring our mind into the activities, the devotional service. The activities, the devotional service has to be performed both with the body and the mind, and also with the words. Yes. Yeah, the beginning is duty. And of course, it shouldn't be just duty. You know, I'm a soldier here in Krishna consciousness. I don't know what I'm doing, but, you know, I'm just dutiful. There also should be some feeling. But feeling should be guided by duty. In other words, we should first know what we should do, and we should do at least that, and then we should develop our feelings. Both have to be there. Therefore it says that one has no goal in life save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So our real goal is to develop our emotional feelings towards Krishna. But in order to do that, there's a science of how to do it. So we have to follow that. Or else, in the name of developing feelings towards Krishna, we may wind up in another type of consciousness. We may become sahajiyas, or even there's different types of ways of becoming misdirected. Yes.
You know, the commentary about what some could see like a contradiction, the humbleness and the determination to be more respected to everybody else at the same time, character, sections, the humbleness, the determination.
Well, I don't know which one you're referring to, but the point is, if one becomes a servant of Krishna, he knows he's not the doer. So just like Arjuna, he may kill millions of people on the battlefield and be very humble about it. Because he knows that I'm simply acting as Krishna's instrument. He's not doing anything on his own behalf. He's simply desiring to do whatever Krishna wants. And then Krishna makes the arrangements so that the devotee gets the credit for the activity, but actually it's Krishna who's doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's simply an instrument for Krishna. So he knows, although people are giving me the credit, actually the whole credit goes to Krishna. So therefore he's humble. It's due to false ego, one takes the credit because he thinks he's doing so many things. When he sees he's not doing anything, except for desiring, and when he desires properly, the only way he'll see that he's doing, that he's not the doer, is if he desires properly. And that desiring properly is simply desire to become an instrument for Krishna. Yeah, of course. Well, determination is a function of desire. When desire is strong, that's called determination. But we won't be able to have strong desire, strong determination, unless we have realization, because we'll always be doubtful what we're doing. But when things become clear, then we'll know exactly what to do, because it'll be clear. Therefore, one should patiently follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, and then gradually Krishna will give one realization, and by that realization one will develop determination, and determination how to remain in Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
Isn't that just asking about
the observer,
you should observe Krishna sometimes? What's that? The
We're the observer. Where do you read this? There may be different ways. It's according to Bhagavad Gita. It says that the living entity, anadi dvam gunani dva paramatmaya aviyam shirirasto pikondaya nakaroti na navidite. The living entity, master of the city of, what is that? Anadi dvam nirgunadva. The living entity is not doing anything, nor is he entangled. He's simply the conscious of the different activities of his body. It's the basic principle of our philosophy. Is that the living entity, although he's not doing anything, but he's conscious. Just like the in the 13th chapter. When a sensible man ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies, and he sees how beings are expanded everywhere, he attains to the Brahman conception. The sky, although due to its subtle nature, does not mix with anything, though it's all-pervading. Similarly, the soul does not mix with the body, though situated in that body. Those who see with the eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body can also understand the process of liberation from bondage and material nature attained to the supreme goal. So obviously we're a seer. I mean, you don't see anything? Yeah, of course. We're the observers of the body and the mind. As far as being observer of Krishna, we can also become an observer of Krishna when Krishna reveals himself to us. Then we observe, then we see that we become experiencers of Krishna consciousness. But that doesn't depend upon our effort. It depends upon, in one sense, it depends upon a combination of our desiring to see Krishna and Krishna's willingness to reveal himself. Just like Mother Yashoda tried to tie up Krishna, so part of it, of being able to do so, was part of it was her effort, and part of it was Krishna's willingness to become tied up. Otherwise, when Krishna, she may have made all the effort she wanted, but unless Krishna was willing, she couldn't do it. So it's not just Krishna revealing himself, it's also our developing our the desire that Krishna reveal himself. And that depends upon our surrender to Krishna to develop that desire. So it's a reciprocation. But as he said, you know, it's
we're not desiring, first of all, we're desiring to serve Krishna, and that way we develop a desire to see Him. Service comes first. Anything else? Yeah.
I've written down some things, reasons why I should go to Krishna, but I felt like that writing it down felt like a sin. Like, I don't have to write it down, I can just write it down Krishna instead of writing it down and keep it in the college.
Oh, why shouldn't you write it down?
Write it down?
Why not?
Okay.
We should. Writing is also hearing and then repeating. So writing is just another way of repeating. Prabhupada emphasized writing because it helps clarify our thoughts. It's a way of seeing our thoughts before us and be able to cross out those thoughts that aren't so good and develop those thoughts which are good. And then afterwards you can check out by see if you're reasons for going to Krishna or going to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and therefore be able to correct your mind and your understanding of things if they're wrong, or expand upon the things that are right. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.